Welcome to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing. Each episode, we feature interviews with guests at the Sweetland Seminar about topics in the teaching of writing. I'm T. Hetzel. Today, our guest is Mike Palmquist. Mike Palmquist is Associate Vice Provost for Learning and Teaching, Professor of English, and University Distinguished Teaching Scholar at Colorado State University, where he directs the university's Institute for Learning and Teaching. His scholarly interests include writing across the curriculum, the effects of computer and network technologies on writing instruction, and new approaches to scholarly publishing. Since 1992, he has coordinated the development of writing at CSU and its web-based learning environment, The Writing Studio. He is also founding editor of the WAC Clearinghouse. Mike, welcome. To get started, can you tell us how you became interested in this idea of writing across the curriculum?
Sure. It was kind of a surprise thing. They hired me at Colorado State in 1990, right out of my PhD at Carnegie Mellon. And I showed up, you know, a new assistant professor, and they would ask me to do things, and I would always say, yes, of course I'll do that, because that's what you do. And actually, I guess I still do that. They keep asking me to do things, and I say yes. But I got involved in a project that was all about writing and engineering. One of the department chair at that time of our electrical engineering program was very concerned about the quality of communication that students were showing once they left the university and moved into the workplace. And so a couple of my colleagues had been working with him, and they came and asked me, would you be interested in joining us on a Writing Across the Curriculum project? And so I said, yeah, sure, that sounds great. We went to seek support for that from our dean. He helped us out with some resources, but then required that we start a writing or a research center and that we start applying for grants. And so we did that, and we started this new research center called the Center for Research on Writing and Communication Technologies. One of the grants that we went after was one that allowed us to create a Writing Across the Curriculum program. We obtained funding from the state of Colorado for over a five-year period to try to do something really different. And at that point, Colorado State had a WAC program that was about 11 years old. It had started in the late 70s. It had used all of the principles of writing across the curriculum, which writing across curriculum is really using writing in the service of two things. First, to help students learn content, to learn the skills and concepts and all the things that are part of becoming, say, a biologist or a historian or an archaeologist, whatever it would be. And the other part of it is then to help students graduate with strong communication skills so that they can participate more fully in civic life and so that they can participate more fully in their disciplines and professions. And so WAC had started in small liberal arts colleges. It was very successful there, largely because the reward structure at those schools really gives people credit for being great teachers. And if you love your students, which of course we all do, you get to get credit for that, and you get to really work hard with them. And if you integrate something like writing across the curriculum, which takes a lot of time to do well, you're recognized for that, and you get rewarded. At research universities, it wasn't working quite as well because we had other competing concerns. We needed to publish. We needed to generate funded research and things like that. And so there was always this conflict where a faculty member, particularly a new faculty member, might look at the opportunity to spend 40 hours over the course of a semester working with a writing across the curriculum approach in their classes, or they could take that same 40 hours and write an article, or they could take that same 40 hours and write a grant proposal. And the pressures they would get from the department chair and their colleagues, and really from the whole way that the tenure process works at a research-intensive university, was to say, well, let's put the teaching off for a while and focus more on these other things because you need to establish your career and your national reputation.
But by establishing this center, which you then did, It actually then established more of a focus.
That's right. It helped us a great deal. And our mission through that was to help faculty across the university do more to help our students graduate with the skills that we wanted them to graduate with. And so we started working with faculty across the university and recognized pretty early on that we needed to make a new approach to writing across the curriculum, something we ended up calling the integrated approach, where in the traditional model, the WAC works with a person who is an expert in writing, working with faculty across the disciplines, and then those faculty across the disciplines will integrate writing into their courses and teach their students how to use it. We realized that that was just going to be too time-consuming, and we wanted to lower the barrier to adopting WAC in their classes. So we ended up finding ways to directly support students. And so there's been a bottom-up approach to WAC that had been used quite a bit, and that involves using writing centers. And so you provide a writing center on campus, students can come to it, they can get the support, it takes some of the pressure off of the faculty member. We also decided we'd do a lot with technology. So we ended up creating an online resource before the web, this was back around 1992, 93. That would allow us to provide direct instruction to students. They could go to the wide area application built on Windows with something that was called Asymmetrics Toolbook. And it was really similar to the old HyperCard program that was on the Mac.
But you were really a trailblazer in
this. We were doing some pretty early stuff. I mean, I'd been at Carnegie Mellon, and one of my colleagues, Chris Neuwirth, who I'd studied with, and Richard Young had proposed a distributed writing center idea back in 1987. They proposed it to the Buell Foundation. It wasn't funded, but it laid out everything that an OWL would be. And so I, of course, knew what they were doing and borrowed some of those ideas. Meanwhile, Kate Kiefer and Don Rodriguez at Colorado State had been working with providing direct feedback to students through their online tools. They were using Writer's Workbench and Unix systems to allow students to submit papers and get feedback on it, to send. They were doing something that the Purdue OWL ended up doing. You could send an email message to their server and it would send back a handout on what you wanted. So there was a lot of early work going on with this, and I walked into that from Carnegie Mellon into Colorado State, and this stuff all came together and we started talking about it.
And what were some of the concerns when you mentioned, for example, the electrical engineering professor? Mm-hmm. So what are some of the concerns that you're seeing even now, Mike, that are happening with writing in the classroom across curriculum, across disciplines, and how are these being addressed with WAC?
Well, WAC, you know, WAC's really interesting in that there's so many different flavors of it. There's writing to learn, which is where you use informal writing activities, low-stakes writing activities that aren't necessarily graded formally. You get some feedback on them, maybe a check plus, or nice job, right, or this is interesting. But you don't necessarily get graded in the same way that you would for a formal essay or some sort of report. And then there's writing to engage, where you're asking students to do kind of school-based genres, things like an analysis or an evaluation, things that wouldn't get published in a journal, but that would nonetheless really ask you to engage with the ideas pretty deeply. And then there's writing in the disciplines, or writing to communicate, which gets you ready to go out into the workplace. What we hear from people in the workplace is that they want students who are ready to do everything as soon as they get there. You know, in the old days, a place like General Motors would hire you
and they would shape you.
They would spend a lot of time training you.
Even your writing.
Yes. Yeah. And people would spend their entire career at General Motors. Today, people move around more quickly. These corporations, and from the small startups to the established corporations, go, well, we've only got you for so many years. You better come in ready to go.
Bring the skills with you.
Yeah, and so they're expecting a lot more, and I think for good reason, but they want our students, our graduates, to come in there with some really strong skills.
So what can the instructor in the classroom, how can they help them get the students get these skills in the coursework they're doing in their no matter what their classroom is, writing classroom or an electrical engineering classroom?
I think it's less about the individual instructor and more about the institutional commitment to it. You need to have a large vision. You need to say, what are we trying to accomplish? You know, it's not we're going to build a writing center and we care about the writing center. It's we're using the writing center so that our students will have additional resources so they can learn more. We're creating a writing across the curriculum program so that we can accomplish particular goals. It might be to help our students learn more about a particular content area. It might be to help our students graduate with specific writing and communication skills that will help them in the workplace. Things like that. So what we end up doing is thinking about how do all of our courses work together, much like you do with a major. Do you have some courses at the beginning where students are exposed to writing in low-stakes environments? So, for example, in our courses at Colorado State, we have about 100 GTAs across the university that work in our humanities, social sciences, and arts courses to provide feedback, and 25% of the course grade is based on their writing. But it's not formal writing in the sense of an essay. It's usually one or two page, maybe three page responses to questions that really engage them more deeply with it. And our research shows us that, say, in a psychology course, when students write about particular concepts, they end up doing better in the final exams on questions about those concepts.
So we need, instructors need to get the word out clearly to students that this is something that isn't just a hoop or something that you can prove that you've, for example, read something when you're engaging with the writing. It is an opportunity, like show the value of this synthesis.
That's right. And the idea is to use writing to help students engage much more deeply with the content and to learn more. You know, there's that difference. A lot of our midterm exams, for example, focus on remembering and understanding. Is this something you can say, this is the right answer? I'm not sure exactly why. But when you have to write it down and say, why is this a better answer than that? Then the students have to process things more deeply. They really have to begin to apply some of the ideas and engage with them and think more critically about them. So, and then the other thing that you do when you're putting together a whole program is to think about, where do you want to go? What do you want students to be able to do when they're sophomores and juniors? What do you want them to be able to do when they're seniors and ready to go, you know, on to the next step in their lives? And so then you start moving more towards writing in the disciplines where you've got students who are being exposed to the kind of discourse they might encounter in the workplace or in civic life or something like that.
So the upper level writing courses.
Yeah. And usually you'll coordinate the writing and the disciplines with your writing program. A lot of universities have composition programs. At our university, we have a freshman level writing requirement as well as a junior level writing requirement.
It's interesting to me, Mike, that you say that it's institutional. It's what the value of the university is that will then reflect how students are growing and teachers are teaching.
Right.
As an individual instructor, is there anything then that we can do to show that we have these values in the classroom, to communicate it directly to the students so that it's clear that this university is hopefully part of that culture?
Well, I think it's a story that you want to tell. What's the relevance of your course? You know, students walk in and they're taking whatever it is, 100 level course, and they're sort of going, well, this is just a hoop I have to get through, until they hear the professor talking about why this course is going to be of value to them, what it's going to do for them. And you do that with everything. You know, you say, we're going to have the following assignments, and this is why, this is where it's going to take you, this is what it's going to allow you to learn and do. And when you start talking about writing, you say, well, you know, I'm not really teaching writing in the same way that you've probably been experiencing it in your high school careers. Now we're using writing for the following purposes, and you articulate what those purposes are so they understand it. And they go, oh, okay. Well, they might not love the idea that they're writing more, because I think writing is often associated with punishment. You will write 100 times. I will not do the following. But it's hard work. Writing is really hard work.
But maybe even voicing that too.
Yeah, you have to tell them. I mean, it's sort of like I start out with my students and ask them how many of them are musicians. And then I ask them if they're good musicians. And very few of them say they're good, but I say, how much time have you spent being a musician? And they'll say, oh, you know, I would play piano 5 hours a week or something, and no, I'm not very good yet. I say, well, how much did you write last year? And they end up going, well, not that much, you know, and it comes out to be less than an hour a week. And I say, do you expect to get good at music if you put an hour a week in? And so it's a lot of time on task kind of stuff. And so the story that a faculty member can tell them is that across their university careers, that they will be exposed to a lot of writing opportunities, and that cumulatively these will help them. So that'll help them become better communicators. But more importantly, in this particular class, where we're really focusing on learning new ideas and new skills, writing will help you learn those more fully. You'll know more as a result of doing the writing. So you have to tell them both stories. I think that's what a faculty member can do, to kind of, if they just, it's sort of like, if you said, I want you to do a design activity, or I want you to do undergraduate research, and they don't understand why, they're not going to be able to really put that in perspective.
But connecting it to something that's practical or actually has real world connection that they can see, then they can have a more powerful engagement or reason to participate in it or to try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deeply.
And they really need to understand why they're doing something. I learned this as a college cross-country and track coach. You know, we were a very successful team, but it was because the athletes bought into it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had particular reasons why we were doing everything. I always took a lot of care to explain why we were doing something. And that translated back into the classroom. When students understand what's going on.
But it sounds so simple, Mike. Like, it sounds like, well, of course. But it's actually, you have to make sure that you are saying it clearly,
yeah,
and being transparent about what these goals are.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how is technology then changing the opportunities of writing in the classroom?
Well, technology is really interesting. A long time ago, people would start, when computers first came out, everybody was going a little crazy saying, oh my God, the computers are going to replace us, this is going to be bad. And then they started saying, well, this is interesting, but make absolutely sure that you don't let technology drive your teaching goals. Technology should always be in service of the goals you have for your course. And for a long time, I thought that was a good idea. I've changed my mind. And the reason I've changed my mind is that technology actually fundamentally changes a lot of the things that we're experiencing in our lives. I mean, the way people wrote in the 1970s, the way they wrote in the 80s, 90s, and now today, has changed radically. You've got access to audiences you didn't have access to before because of the World Wide Web. You've got social media. You've got changes in word processors. You've got, I mean, from when I was typing a novel for my senior project in my undergrad work on an IBM Selectric, which thankfully had correcting tape on it, to actually being able to use a computer word processor in the 80s, to using all kinds of technologies today. I mean, we can write on our phones, we can do whatever we want. It really changes the materiality of writing. And I think this extends out into all kinds of things in the classroom. If we're using technology, we often think of it as a way to go after our preset goals. But if we always have those preset goals in place, we might be teaching a whole lot like we did in the 19th century or the 20th century. Whereas if you look at technology and think about the new possibilities it affords, then you start to think, well, what do these new things make possible? What does it mean for my teaching? Take a look at GIS, Geographic Information Systems. How has that transformed geography? How has it transformed natural resources? How has it changed archaeology and history and political science? It's a new technology that allows us to work with data in really interactive and useful ways, and it's fundamentally changed those courses. Those entire majors have grown up around this. Well, I think the same is true with the technologies, the learning technologies we use and the communication technologies we use. As teachers, we really need to think carefully not only about how this technology can allow us to pursue the goals we've always held and that are good goals, but also what new goals it makes possible and what new techniques we can use to accomplish them.
And people can go to the WAC Clearinghouse, can go to your site to find some strategies.
Oh yeah, yeah. The WAC Clearinghouse is kind of interesting. It was a little website that we started to support the faculty at Colorado State University, and it took me about 5 minutes to realize that people from all over the world could get to it. So we started turning that into more of a publishing initiative, and we started putting things out there. And today we've got, it really started out as a resource site, a resource website, go here, find this information. But now we have more than 100 people around the world working on it with us. We've got 7 journals. We've published more than 54 books. All of it's available for free in open access format. And
this is the future. This is wonderful.
Yeah, this is kind of fun. And it's like you take this technology and go, wow, we can reach audiences we could never reach before. We can publish books at a fraction of the cost of a scholarly press and have all of the rigor that an established press has. We have some of the top people in the world serving as our book series editors and our journal editors and on our editorial boards, and all of the review processes we do are identical to what goes on in an established press.
So the WAC Clearinghouse, a valuable resource that people can go take a look at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, thank you so much for your time and for sharing the ideas and your vision.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/sweetland.